Part 2. On looking back, as he so often did afterwards, into the details of this extraordinary adventure, Tubby was never able to arrange the various incidents in their proper order. The whole affair had the inconsequence, the coloured fantasy of a dream, one of those rare and delightful dreams that are always so much more true and reasonable than anything in one's waking life. After that astounding invitation of Lady Winslow's, in what order did the events follow? The cynical luncheon party, the affair of Mallow's young woman, Mallow was the butler, the extraordinary metamorphosis of Miss Allington. All of these were certainly in the first 24 hours after Mr. Huffam's arrival. The grand sequence of the Christmas tree, the mad party, the London vision, were all parts of the tremendous climax. At once, Tubby realized, the house itself changed. It had never been a satisfactory house, always one of those places rebelliously determined not to live. Even the rooms most often inhabited, the drawing room, the long dusky dining room, Sir Roderick's study, Tubby's own bedroom, sulkily refused to play the game. The house was too large, the furniture too heavy, the ceilings too high. Nevertheless, on the first evening of Mr. Huffam's visit, the furniture began to move about. After dinner on that evening, there was only the family present. Miss Agatha Allington, an old maid, a relationship with money to be left, an unhappy old woman, suffering from constant neuralgia, had not yet arrived. There they were in the drawing room, and almost at once Mr. Huffam had moved some of the chairs away from the wall, had turned the sofa with the gilt spiky back more cosily towards the fire. He was not impertinent nor officious. Indeed, on this first evening he was very quiet, asking them some questions about present-day London, making some rather odd social inquiries about prisons and asylums and the protection of children. He was interested, too, in the literature of the moment, and wrote down in a little notebook an odd...